intentional living in the trenches when you have a son or daughter who's now an adult, 25, 30, 35, maybe older, and they've chosen a lifestyle, a direction in their life, whatever it is that you are concerned about, and they've walked away from your faith, from your family, whatever degree, and you might consider them a prodigal or at least wayward. I don't know what word you would use, but maybe they're making decisions you don't approve of, and a concern for them, not only don't approve of, but you're concerned because you see where that could lead in their life when it comes to money or relationships or their faith or whatever. One thing that you've done, one thing you've learned, one thing that has helped you, what is it? As you give us a call, 888-888-1717 on our storyline, 888-888-1717, and share with us on our storyline today. All right, let's take our first call from Michigan. Robin has been waiting there. Hi, Robin. Appreciate your call.
Hi.
What have you learned about the prodigals, Robin?
Well, you said some things that really struck me, that to require respect in your home, you love your child. And I did that. My prodigal has come home. And I'm so grateful after a very long journey. It was a divorce situation, and I was a Christian parent who was living as healthy as I, following the Lord, doing a good job. And the God bless my ex-husband. I pray for him, but he was very much an enabler. So my sons had a way out, but I did set a boundary, and I said, I live in a home of love and respect, and if you can't be loving and respectful, then you can't live here. So you need to make a decision. So, of course, he made the decision to leave and go back and stay at his dad's house where there were no rules. So it was really hard to do. The point I'm making is I've set a lot of boundaries, and it's hard when you love someone. It's hard to watch them struggle. But if you do it, there's so much potential for a positive outcome. And it got to the point where I had to change the locks. Been more than one occasion that I've had to get other authorities involved, but in the end, he's come home.
Amen.
He's come home. And something else you said, don't get down in the pit with him.
That's right.
So I haven't. I've provided recovery for him on two occasions throughout these years, and he's doing fantastic now. He actually works in the recovery community helping other people. He's incredibly healthy.
Terrific.
And he's understanding the Lord more. He's kind. He loves himself. He loves other people. He says, I'm blessed when I talk to him. So it was a lot of years, but I just want the, if you do the hard things and follow God's guidance, then there can be a beautiful outcome.
Amen to that. What a story. Thank you, Robin. I'm so happy. And I can hear the tears or tears of joy like that daddy in the prodigal story that we read earlier in the week from Luke 15, that he waited at the window at the door. And when he saw that prodigal son coming home from a long ways off, he ran out to greet him. And I think that's the heart of every loving parent who's concerned about a son or daughter who's making decisions that are hurtful for them. And so we're happy for you and for your son. And one of the things you did is you respected your son enough to allow him to do what he needed to do, but you respected yourself enough to do what you needed to do. And so often we disrespect ourselves attempting to respect our children. And in the process, both get hurt, both lose in that process. All right. Thank you, Robin. I appreciate that call. We're talking about, and by the way, we're talking about prodigals. It's kind of a nuanced thing, because I know some of you, your children are not, quote, prodigals. They're just making dumb decisions in life. I mean, they're there and they're followers of Christ and what have you, but they're just doing stupid things. They make dumb decisions, and you love them, and you know the consequences of these decisions can lead in directions that can hurt them, damage them and others and their family and so on. What do you do? I think that's even a more difficult question, because when it's, you got someone who's just said, I'm out of here and I'm rejecting everything, and they've made really bad decisions. You can't hang on. They're going to make a decision. But when they're right there and they have some good days and bad days, and you want to be a good parent, I always tell parents, depending on the age, depending on the child, issues with the maturity of the child and so on, be careful not to preach or feel like you have to be responsible to solve all the problems. Again, it's a lot better. And by the way, parents, this is why we have taught over the years about logical and natural consequences. If you can help an 8-year-old face the consequences of a dumb decision that's not going to really hurt all that much, but it's a lesson for that little kid or that little girl, and they learn their lessons when they're 7 and 8 years old, that's a lot better than when they're 18 or 28. So teaching your children about the logical and natural consequences of life when they're young can be a help to them when they get older. Not necessarily, but it certainly is still the right thing to do. All right? We're talking about sons and daughters that you love and making decisions that you don't love so much. All right? Let me get Teresa on the line in California. Hi there, Teresa. Appreciate your call today. Go right ahead.
Hi, Randy. I have a prodigal. I haven't talked to my son for 15 years, and I had to do tough love with him because of his using alcohol and probably drugs and being abusive. I was a single mom, and so I had to kick him out of the house and change the locks, and that was that. And I just gave him to the Lord. I prayed for him for years. And then it kind of fell off because I thought he was probably not alive. Mm-hmm. And then earlier this year, I heard that through his half-brother, who's a private investigator, that he was somehow connected to the Union Gospel Mission in Sacramento.
Wow.
They contacted them. Yep, I contacted them, and they have somebody in place to, you know, talk with parents or, you know, kind of be a liaison. And I got a hold of a fellow who was very accommodating. He said, yes, your son has been here, and he's been coming here for 4 years.
Wow.
He didn't know who he was because they have a lot of people. And finally he connected with him about 3 weeks ago, and he said, oh, he said, you're Joe. And he said, I have something for you. And he went to his office and he brought back my phone number. And he gave it to my son and he said, I'm not ready to call her. So he has bitterness. And I have been able to forgive him for everything that he did. But I'm his mother and I kicked him out of the house. And I gave him to the Lord because I knew at the age of 35 that everything that I had done for him all his life had not helped him. I realized that. The Lord showed me that. All you're helping is only enabling him to continue with this bad path that he's on. So I truly gave him to the Lord, and now this, and I see God's hand, because I'll tell you what, you do not get a meal until you listen to the sermon. And I've listened to quite a few of the sermons online, and they're amazing. It is the gospel, pure and simple. It is clear. Yes, the pastor is Tim Lane. He's amazing. And they really, truly are called to minister to the homeless. So he comes every night. He gets a message. He gets a meal. He gets a shower. And he gets a bed. And I'll tell you, I lost all hope that he would be, do something great with his life. And he had many gifts as a child. And he's quite talented in many, many areas. But he was broken. His dad was abusive to him, and he was just broken. And so I lost all that hope. But I have great hope now that he will be saved.
Amen. And you say, if I'm doing the math, he would be 50?
He will almost be 50. You're about right. He's 48, and so this has been a hard 15 years for him. There's no question.
Yeah. And for you.
And for me, yes, and for me. But I'm with the Lord, and the Lord is so good to me. But I pray for wisdom. If he does call me, I sent him a letter on Friday. So he would be getting it either today or tomorrow.
Mm.
And he may call. He may not call me. It was a simple letter. I love you. no expectations, but here's my number if you want to talk. Mm. And I just, you know, I don't know. I don't know if he will or he won't. That's out of my hands, but I love him. I've never stopped loving him.
Wow. Well, let me pray. Can I pray for him and for you? What's his first name?
Joseph.
Joseph. Lord, I pray right now as that letter is being sent and going through the mail and will be received by Joseph, that your spirit will move him in some way to open that letter, read it. Maybe the message he hears that night at the mission will soften his heart to you first, that he would come into relationship with you in a serious, intentional way. And then maybe in the process to be able to reach out to mom, that there could be a reconnection, a healing. 48 years, a long time, but there's still years ahead. And Father, I pray that you'll move in the life of this man and mom, that there can be a reconciliation with you, a restoration of a relationship with you, and then in community with family. We know the years have a way of eating away at our lives and our confidence and our decisions. I just pray that there'll be years of healing now in the life of this family. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for
thank
your
you,
call.
Randy.
Thank you for calling. And we'll
thank
be praying
you.
For you in California today.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. Right.
Appreciate you doing that today.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
I came across Intentional Living. I went through a very difficult time, and my word for the year was intentionality. And being able to hear a radio station that promotes or encourages intentionality was like, thank you, Lord.
Maybe you're like Patricia. Life has been difficult, but listening to Intentional Living encourages you and helps you get through your day.
With your support, people like Patricia have the tools to live an intentional life for Christ. And now you can access many of Dr. Randy's exclusive teachings on various topics whenever you want.
As we approach our spring fundraiser, support the Ministry of Intentional Living. When you do, you'll be a part of a special group that gets unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive monthly teachings from the past 2 years.
So don't wait. Give $30 a month or more, or a special gift of $360, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, we appreciate your support, the fact that you stand in support with us each month, you making a difference in the ministry of Intentional Living, allowing us to reach out and encourage people who are going through tough times. That when we are intentional in our walk with Christ, it's life-changing. Thank you for joining us. You heard how you can do that. Go to theintentionallife.com right now. Help us get a great start on our special spring fundraiser coming up here. 888-888-1717. Or go to theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com and click on that donate icon. We're talking today to parents and prodigals, families that get divided. And our goal is to have healing first in a relationship with our Savior, with Christ, and then in the families. And I hope you're getting some help today and some encouragement in the process. Thomas is next in Arizona. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate your call. It says here you were the prodigal, huh?
Yes, sir. When I turned 18, I left as soon as I could within a week, and ended up just living that party life. And you know, something I've learned, I'm 35 now, so something I've learned over the years is, as I've attempted to come back to my family, I realized the dysfunction was not healthy to come back to. And I, you know, my stepdad doesn't want that. My biological father abandoned us, and my mom does the best she could. And I've realized that my heavenly, but God, He's my father. He's the one I need to keep running back to. And it's been hard for me because I've looked for father figures in, you know, my former in-laws and all kinds of guys. And now, you know, as I've put God as my Heavenly Father, I have mentors now. One of them is in Alaska. Another's in Iowa. I have a couple at church. And God is faithful in providing what we need. But ultimately, coming to Him every time I make a mistake or stray away, and I'm not perfect. I mean, shoot, I've gone back and forth a lot between 18 and 35. And now I have a daughter of my own. She's 4 and a half. And I want to be the kind of dad that no matter what she can run to, you know, and I don't know what that's like practically at like on an earthly level, but I trust that God will make me into that man as I just keep coming to Him as my father.
Hey, listen, you keep doing that, Thomas. You keep running to God. You keep running to Him to get understanding. You put yourself in a place where you've got men around you who are smarter, quicker, and whatever. That's a smart thing to do. Those are mentors. When you got questions, you're willing to ask for help. You can't lose on that. You can't lose. The losers are the people think they've all figured it out on their own. They've got all the answers, and they're running to do their own thing, and they run into a wall. Smart people, mature people, have people around them to ask questions. I've been on this planet a long time, longer than you, much longer than you, and I have around me men that can speak into my life. I got people that can tell me the truth, because we don't know it all. And you know what I learned? The older I get, I bet you have too, the older we get, the less we know.
Right.
And exactly. So building some guys around you, the people that you can trust, you can speak into your life is a smart thing to do. And my guess is you're a much better daddy than you give yourself credit for.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's what I've been told, but I just don't see it. Maybe I just don't have anything to weigh it against. I'm not sure, but it's okay.
Well,
my daughter loves me. You know, I was feeling really sick yesterday with flu or whatever's going around, and I asked my daughter to put oil on my head, and she said, "Thank you, God, for daddy." In 20 minutes, I was better.
Hey, amazing. Listen.
It was really cool.
If you've got a 4-year-old daughter who's blessing you and saying, "I'm glad for my daddy and pray for my daddy and I love my daddy," I don't know what you could be doing wrong. So God bless you. And thank you for sharing that reminder. He said, by the way, Thomas said something really important. Not all families are healthy. And so if you have been labeled the prodigal, you got to ask yourself, now, wait a minute. That term implies that they're doing it right and I was doing it wrong. Now, please be careful here. But if you're following God, you're truly following God, it may not be that the family that you're from is a healthy environment for you. Maybe you've been through a path, you've learned some lessons in life, and you've been beat up in life, and God has revealed some things. You build around you the kind of people who are going to help you grow in Christ, get plugged into a Bible-believing church. Of course, we're pro-listening to the radio because you're going to, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You do this for the next 30 days, and it's going to be transformational in your life. We believe that. We've seen it. Because what we put into our minds, the Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your minds, right? That's what Paul says. And so whatever is true and right and admirable and praiseworthy, think on such things, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. And so these things are powerful, what we believe and what we tell ourselves. All right, Thomas, thank you. Time for another break. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back. Got a couple more calls. As we're talking about prodigals today, if you got a comment, share it with us, 888-888-1717.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Victor Reed, and I've decided that instead of giving sporadically to your ministry, I'm going to be a monthly partner. You helped save my life and pull me out of the pit, and I know that this is given to the kingdom of God, so that's my one step for the day.
Hey, listen, I appreciate that. God bless you. You know, we're coming up on our spring share-a-thon here, and your support matters, large or small, whatever you can do. It's between you and the Lord. We just want you to be a part of the team here. Your monthly support goes a long ways to help us impact people for Christ. Join us at 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours and press number 2, or anytime, go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. If you missed the first part of this two-part show, we're doing this today, but earlier in the week on Tuesday, was part one, powerful calls. I'd encourage you to go to our archives or to the podcast and listen to the Tuesday show on this topic of your prodigal child. And read chapter 15 from the book of Luke, the section about the story of the lost son. This is a story, a parable that Jesus shared to give us a spiritual reminder that even a prodigal is loved unconditionally. And so if you're a prodigal spiritually today, and that's a whole nother topic, if you're a prodigal spiritually today, God loves you. And he's looking out the window, as it were, from heaven, and he wants you to come home. And just turn to him and say, Lord, I have gone my own way long enough, and it ain't working. And I ask you today to come into my life. I give my life to you. You know, the Bible tells us that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, Jesus from the dead, we'll be saved. It's not a hoop you have to jump through. It's a belief that you have to grab hold of. For by faith you are saved, you know, by grace, right? By faith, rather, you're saved. And so as we give our lives to Christ in faith, it's transformational. It's God's grace to us. Tell us about it. Share your story on our comment line so we can pray for you. We've got a prayer ministry as well, a prayer wall where people will be praying for you in your journey. So go to theintentionallife.com. All right, let's go back to our calls next in California.
Hi, Randy. My name's Allison, and I have a question about my 22-year-old son who lives at home and recently has started working full-time and stopped going to school. And I'm wondering, at which point do we, as the parents, cut our purse strings from our adult children working full-time and still living at home?
Now, there's a nuance. This is not necessarily a prodigal story. This is just a child who needs to grow up. It's time to have that talk. All right, you made a decision not to go to school. We were going to help you go to school, and that's fine. If that's a decision, not every child should go to school. And in fact, I'm a big advocate in this day and age. There's some programs that young people can grow into and have a great living and a great time in their life. They can create their own business that doesn't require a four-year degree. But beyond that, if they're living at home and working and they're doing good, I would applaud that. I'd say, son, I'm proud of you. Thank you for what you're doing. What are your goals? And I would talk about, what are your goals? Where would you like to be in 6 months? And he may say, in 6 months, I'd like to be on my own. Or a year from now, I want to be on my own. All right, how can we help you get there? And put a plan together. What things can we do in the next year to help you get there? All right, that's what you're going to do by February. That's what you want to do. All right, we're going to work with you between now and then. Put a plan together. Tell us how we can help. If, on the other hand, he's just leisurely sitting on the couch eating bonbons after work, then you have to have the talk about, wait a minute, what is a bonbon, by the way? Anybody know what that is? What is that?
I think it's like a dipped chocolate or ice cream.
Oh, I want one of those. Donna won't let me have one. Anyway, if he's just sitting home and getting by and enjoying mom's cooking, and a reminder, you're not running a hotel or an Airbnb, then it's a matter of sitting down and saying, okay, we need a plan. If you're going to be here, we need a little bit of help. You can help out in the kitchen. You can help out with food. You can help out with gas money. You can help out with whatever, and put a plan together. Where it is, every family will have their own limits. The goal, again, is helping your child become more responsible. Hope that helps, Allison. Appreciate the call. Let me see here. Do we have time? All right. Let me go to another question that was left on our storyline. Let me take a listen.
Hi. My question on adult children and money is, how do you encourage parents who are not feeling good about their financial relationship with their adult children to sit down and have that uncomfortable discussion about budget and limits and boundaries? Thanks.
Well, I think that just that's a tag with the previous call, really, as we talk about the finances. You know what? And I say this from just, I guess, observing years on this planet. We are developing a generation of entitlement, it seems to me. At least that's what I'm observing in our culture today. For lots of different reasons we could all talk about. But we don't want our children to feel entitled. I believe, I told my wife this a number of times, if a young person today goes the extra mile, works a little harder, does things with excellence, they're going to be successful. I don't think it's that difficult to be successful in this culture, frankly. If a person's willing to work a little bit harder, put in a little bit more time, learn some skills, be intentional, get focused, it can be transformational in their life. So when you talk about the talk, I think you just sit down and have the talk. Here's our budget, and we want to know what your budget is and what your plans are. I think it goes along with what we were just talking about a moment ago. All right? We're talking about prodigals quickly. Do we have time for one more? Let's see. Let's go to a call from, let me see here. I think it's Michigan. Go right ahead.
In regards of your children, I have an older child, 43, that's abandoned her children, and you can give me advice what I can do. She's in Arkansas, abandoned her children. I'm just frustrated with trying to lure her back here to straighten her matters up in Michigan. Fred is the name.
Okay, Fred, thank you for leaving that on our storyline. I got stuck on the abandoning my children. I don't know what that means exactly, other than you better jump in and see what's going on with those kids. That would be my number one priority. My daughter or my son would be secondary. Once our children leave and they have kids, that becomes our primary responsibility and concern. Those kids, I don't know what it means they've been abandoned, but I would jump in to the extent you can and make sure they're taken care of and provided for and loving. And I know grandparents are doing that all around the country. But the idea of trying to lure your daughter back, I think that was a word or similar word, you can't control her. I think you pray for her. If she wants to get help, you provide direction. But I wouldn't follow her down a path of destruction. I would encourage you to jump in and provide for those kids. All right. Boy, we just got to the tip of that iceberg on this topic today of the prodigals in the lives of so many parents around the country. If you've been wrestling with that in your own life, I hope we've learned something today together. The earlier program from the week, I hope you'll listen to that as well on our podcast, or you can stream it through our website at theintentionallife.com. Remember, the end of the story of the prodigal was he came home. And the message is that if you and I are a prodigal in our relationship with Christ, come on, maybe we are. We say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian and go to church, but maybe we're just rebelling from what God's intention is for our life. That's being a prodigal. You know, his loving arms are wide open to you today. Come on home. Don't continue on a path that ultimately will lead to destruction. Amen. Dr. Randy here. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your support. Gotta run. See you next time, right here from the Intentional Living Center.